Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress, author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast, and I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Sophia, congratulations on over 10 years of broadcasting. That's right, a decade here on liveparanormal.com. You've helped a lot of people through the years. Congratulations, Sophia, and thank you so much to Rob Sarek, the site founder of liveparanormal.com, and now ghosthunting.com, so you can listen on both formats, ghosthunting.com and liveparanormal.com. Congratulations on your successes throughout the years. And to all of our moderators, thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys, and luckily technology's gotten a lot better since Sophia formulated this broadcast. Your call-ins are welcome, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. And if any questions for our guests in the chat room, too, as well, make sure that they're all caps so we can distinguish from everybody chatting away and putting their links in there. We'll be putting the links to our guests, too, in the chat room as today as well. We welcome Beyond Expo founder and producer Susan Bell and Phoenix Publicity Promotions founder, producer, paranormal researcher, writer, lecturer, and broadcaster Travis Short. They're going to be joining us with updates on their upcoming SWB media feature projects. Everyone visit Travis Short. That's Short with two T's. TravisShort.com, Twitter at Travis Short, at Dark Wings Mothman, Facebook, Beyond Expo, and hashtag Phoenix Rising, hashtag Black Caesar Pirate King. So part of our announcements coming up as well. Upcoming, we have Horsefly Chronicles radio host paranormal investigators Phil and Julia Siracusa returning to the program. That'll be on the 14th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have the other individuals that are booking their guest spots, and also paranormal teams, they're booking their spots too as well. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new broadcasters added to liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com. So a lot of great new paranormal investigator panel roundups on the weekends. A lot of great things added here on the lineup. Check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. That's all part of the membership packages. And support the vendors here. Tonight on liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's here monthly, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Coppock, Ken Gearhard, many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available immediately after this broadcast as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage. Let's bring on the host here, the ghost host, Sophia. Congratulations on over a decade here on Live Paranormal.
Thank you. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Almost 11 now.
Yeah, and then Radio Rod, he's in the chat room. He's congratulating you, too, here. He loves your the pages and your show as well. He's been a great guest.
Thanks, Rod. Yeah, Rod's such an amazing friend of the family and a guest. I mean, he's just a great guy and a great psychic. So, everyone, if you haven't heard of Rod, make sure to go check out Radio Rod. He's amazing.
And Hauntings Radio as well. Well, you got all these different things. You got the Twitters, the Instagram, all these different things. You got a lot of stuff on your YouTube now. Where can people find you?
So you can check out the prior archive shows that we filmed on YouTube, the ghost host Sophia Temporelli. You can also follow me on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter. You guessed it, Sophia Temporelli.
And some great announcements coming up. Tell us about your guest today.
Today, we welcome Beyond Expo founder and producer Susan Bell and Phoenix Publicity Promotions founder, producer, paranormal researcher, and broadcaster Travis Short with updates on their upcoming SWB media feature projects. Everyone visit TravisShort.com, Twitter at Travis Short, at Dark Wings Mothman, Facebook Beyond Expo, and hashtag Phoenix Rising. Let's welcome them both into the show.
All right, Susan and Travis, trying to unmute. That usually means there's a lot of people tuning in right now. So, Susan, Travis, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Hi, Sophia.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Yes, hi.
Hey.
Good to be back. I think it was about a year ago I was on with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's always great, you know, getting to talk with you both. Susan, it's been a while, but, you know, I hope you both are doing well, and thank you so much for coming on today.
Sophia, I remember, I guess you had the show, congratulations on 10 years, but I remember it at Beyond Expo. We actually celebrated your 16th birthday there. So that you've come this far, I'm so proud of you. I love your family. Gianna and Shirley are very important people, even though I don't see you guys very much. The love is still there, and you guys were so awesome during Beyond Expo.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It was, you know, an amazing way to spend my birthday. It's always a lot of fun, you know, getting to do anything in the paranormal, but especially, you know, on a birthday weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Oh,
I got
great.
To hang out with Amy Goodwin, who's an amazing friend to the family. So it was just an amazing event and, you know, just such a fun time.
Yeah, and the fact that we were actually on the Queen Mary, and now that hopefully the Queen Mary is going to be saved, keep your fingers crossed, guys, but I would love to do a second Beyond Expo on the newly refurbished Queen Mary.
Yeah, that would definitely be a lot of fun. I mean, the Queen Mary is such an amazing ship, and I mean, there's so much history there, and it's just, I mean, you never know what you're going to capture when you go there. Have you ever been to the Queen Mary, Travis?
I have not. I was actually planning on attending Beyond Expo. That's actually how Susan and I met. She was trying to book Bill Bean for Beyond Expo, and I was, of course, representing Bill at the time and helped promote Beyond Expo. I believed in what they were trying to do, but no, I've never been to the Queen Mary.
Well, I mean, if there's another Beyond Expo, I mean, you have to come. It's such a great ship, and I'm sure you would love it, and, you know, just all the experiences that happen when you're there.
I've seen several investigations and talked to several individuals who have been and who have investigated, and apparently it is quite the active location for paranormal investigations.
For sure.
Well,
Sophia,
I was just going to say at Beyond Expo, we actually did a seance. I believe it was in the engine room. If I'm wrong, Sophia, correct me. But we did a seance, and we had Becky Radcliffe there, who was the leader. Mike Loop was also there. And it was incredible. So many spirits, actually, who were family members of the group, the seance group, came forward. So it was very chilling. It was really cold in there. But having that experience is one, and as a matter of fact, my dad came through. So that was just really, really special for me. So I have a special place in my heart for the Queen Mary.
Yeah, it's an incredible location. And, you know, speaking of the event and just, you know, all the interest in the paranormal, what individually got you both kind of interested in this field? And was it an experience, or have you just always had a passion for it?
Well, on my end, my family is gifted, either empaths or we're actually, I guess, what they call dreamers. And so we actually dream things that incredibly happen. Sometimes they're extremely sad. Sometimes we don't know where it is. We don't know the people, but we know something's going to happen. I remember growing up, if my grandma called my mom and said, "Don't let Susie go out in the car today." I did not go out in the car that day because my grandma had foreseen something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing just how, you know, kind of these abilities and gifts can just follow people throughout generations. I mean, it's I think, really special, too, when you have that bond with people in your family that you're able to relate to in that way. And, you know, just talk about the paranormal and, you know, just the other side of things.
Yeah, that was incredible. And my mom was very gifted. Two of my aunts were. And it was to this day, my dad's side of the family doesn't have a clue. Now, everybody on my mom's side of the family, where the gifted ones were, they all knew. You know, it was like, let's go talk to Dean, you know, my mom. Let's go talk to Dean. Mm-hmm. Let's go talk to Edie. You know, let's go talk to these and see, you know, if they know anything. It was kind of that way. And I can remember when my mom passed away, the incredible thing that happened, my she and my Aunt Edie were extremely close. And this was, I think, probably 2 days before my mom passed away, and she was on hospice in the hospital. And my Aunt Edie actually had Alzheimer's. But they brought my Aunt Edie, and she sat by me, and we were looking at my mom, and she would keep saying, "I need to go talk to Dean." And I would say, "Okay, I'll take you." And she said, "No, I need to wait." And at the end, when they were leaving, these are my Tennessee cousins, and when they were leaving to go back home, my Aunt Edie went up to the side of my mom's bed, and I was standing beside my Uncle JC, and my mom and my Aunt Edie put her forehead on my mom's forehead, and my mom sat straight up, and she was in a coma. Yeah. So talking about powerful, that's powerful.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's an amazing experience to have happen. And, you know, just the fact that your family's connected like that is really special.
Yeah. And Travis, just jump in. You know me. I will
talk
away.
My interest, I don't have that kind of family saga. It was an interest very early in the unexplained and the paranormal, watching shows like Kolchak the Night Stalker there in the late 70s, early 80s, and then Beyond Belief with Nimoy, and then, of course, The X-Files in the 90s. I've always been interested in, earliest interest was UFOs, Bermuda Triangle, Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, you know, the basics. And then it developed further into a keen interest in the occult, understanding some of the darker sides of things from a religious standpoint. And then, of course, Mothman found his way into my life in around 2001, and I've continued to research and talk about that for close to 20 years now. And actually we'll be on with Lon Strickler on May 20th doing a Mothman roundtable with some other experts to discuss the original sightings and the more recent ones that are taking place in Chicago right now. So just I've had some things that have happened to me in the paranormal research, especially in Point Pleasant when investigating Mothman. So had some experiences that have enlightened me a little bit, have made me a lot more cautious when it comes to treading maybe a little too boldly without taking proper stances to protect oneself during those types of investigations.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing just how, you know, those interests at a younger age can really just shape you as an adult and just your passion for the unknown. I know you've come on before, Travis, to talk a little bit about your work, you know, with learning about the Mothman. Do you want to tell us about, you know, some of the things you created to educate others about the Mothman?
I certainly can. We started the process in 2003 of working on the first ever feature-length documentary film. There have been many since then. But we did start in 2003. We completed it in 2009. It premiered at the Mothman Festival. Actually, it was only supposed to have done one screening. I think we ended up doing three. I think we did two on Friday and one on Saturday. And, of course, I've spoken at the Mothman Festival for several years. The film itself, ironically, I watched it last year with my kids. They had never seen it. My son was 18 at the time. My daughter was 16, 17 at the time. They had never seen the film. So we sat down and watched it. I will say this. I was 20 years younger, so I look a lot different in that documentary than I do now. But we did have a lot of fun doing it. And, of course, Charlie McCracken and Matthew Fleming were involved in that production as well. Charlie, unfortunately, passed away in 2019. At which time all the rights to the footage of the documentary reverted back to me. And I've been actually working for about the past year on a re-edited version of that and trying to get that re-released. I've had a theater here in Virginia that has asked me to actually screen the original, and then possibly screen the re-edited version when that gets done. But I'm wanting to do something on this new version. The original cut was about 4 hours long. There was a lot of things that were cut out, and I want to put back in. And then I also want to add a segment in memoriam for Charlie because of all the work that he did and some back behind-the-scenes photographs and things like that. So that is something that I'm working on. I started on it right before COVID hit. I got a little bit of stuff done during COVID, but I plan on returning back to the drawing board and trying to get that re-edited and out for people. Hopefully, I would like to have it done by December of this year on the anniversary of the collapse of the Silver Bridge on December 15th.
Well, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, you're going to re-edit it and get it out there for so many more people and generations to see. You know, the Mothman is such, you know, just kind of a polarizing, you know.
Oh, very much so.
I don't even know how to describe it, but, you know, entity being, I'm just not even sure. But, you know, it's so iconic, and the Mothman is really something that I feel like a lot of people know about but not really in depth.
Well, and that was the interesting thing is at the time, there was just starting to be talk about Mothman because the movie had come out with Richard Gere and Laura Linney, The Mothman Prophecies, which was based on John Keel's book from the 70s. So when we went to Point Pleasant and started talking to the original eyewitnesses and the residents of the town, you're right, it's a very polarizing story. There were people, as a matter of fact, the very first trip to Point Pleasant, we stopped at the tourism office and asked about the Mothman sightings and where we could talk to anybody, and they literally laughed in our face and told us they didn't talk about it at tourism. If we wanted to, we could find, quote-unquote, some crazy people on Main Street to talk to. So now that has changed. They really have embraced Mothman now because they've had to. They do the festival, brings in about 10,000 people from all over the world every year, every September, with the exception of 2020. They did not have it during COVID. But it has taken place and will take place this year. It's the third weekend in September there in Point Pleasant. But it was polarizing. People talked about it. Some people believed in it. Some people did not. But you're absolutely right. The term that I use to describe Mothman, I don't believe Mothman is a cryptid. I don't believe that Mothman is an alien necessarily or extraterrestrial. I prefer the term either entity or ultra-terrestrial, something that is existing in a different plane but appearing sometimes to individuals that have a heightened psychic ability.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I think, you know, it's just such an unusual case, and it's great to learn more about, you know, just the other parts, like, you know, the Chupacabra or anything, the stories throughout time, and the way, you know, it shapes towns the way that it does is really incredible.
It really is. And it's very, like you said, it's very interesting to me. One of the areas that I'm wanting to go back and add into the documentary was actually a segment where we actually look at different cultures from around the world and how that winged entities, whether humanoid or almost cryptid-like winged entities, have existed in stories, the Mayan culture, the Hindu culture, the Judeo-Christian culture, Islamic culture, and then just in this country alone, like you said, Chupacabra is often described as being able to fly with wings. You have the Jersey Devil, you've got Mothman, you've got all of these. There was the Owl Man, there was the Man Bat in Texas in the 1950s. There were sightings of a winged female entity flying in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. Several soldiers had sightings there. So there's all of these stories that we wanted to kind of look at and talk about and bring to the table. So we took it out of the documentary, and that was actually the presentation that I would do every year at the Mothman Festival, was looking at the various cultures and the various winged entities in those cultures and how they're represented and what they often meant when they were seen.
I mean, it's really just, you know, I love just those little facets of the paranormal, you know, especially when you hear from people who actually live in the town and stuff. I think it can be some of the most interesting, just hearing, you know, the local legends and everything, and the way you turn that into something and are able to speak about it and, you know, document it, I think is so important because, you know, lots of those stories get lost over time as people pass on or move away, or, you know, just a different generation doesn't want to talk about it or feel the same.
Absolutely, and that was one of our purposes in doing the documentary film. And as of right now, You know, several of those eyewitnesses have died. And Mothman was a very interesting paranormal event in that, unlike some other supernatural occurrences like the Loch Ness Monster or UFOs or even ghosts and phantoms that are caught on camera, there was never a photograph or any type of visual evidence of Mothman. It was all eyewitness reportings. So the only written form were the police reports that were filed and the verbal oral tradition as these people would continue to tell their stories. And you're absolutely right. Many of them have passed on. Many of them are no longer able to talk about these things. The one eyewitness that we always wanted to get, but he has never done an interview, is Roger Scarberry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Linda Scarberry's husband at the time. But Roger has never done an interview. And we even talked to him about letting us film his story, and then he could keep it. We wouldn't even take it and use it, but we wanted to get his version of the story because it was always Linda that talked about it. And we did interview Linda for the documentary, got to meet her and her family. Wonderful woman. She passed away in 2010 or 2011. But it is important for those stories to continue. And that's one of the things that I like about documentary filmmaking is it's telling a story in two different ways, because I'm, as a producer and as a writer, I'm taking your story and I'm kind of retelling it for you through a different set of eyes, and I'm giving it a different form of existence, something that continues once you're gone. So that's why I like documentary filmmaking.
Definitely. And I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions for both Susan and Travis.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And everyone, we're welcoming Beyond Expo founder and producer Susan Bell and Phoenix Publicity Promotions founder, producer, paranormal researcher, writer, lecturer, and broadcaster Travis Short. Everyone on Twitter at Travis Short, that's with two T's, also TravisShort.com, at Darkwings Mothman, Facebook Beyond Expo, hashtag Phoenix Rising, hashtag Black Caesar Pirate King. We're going to get into these projects, too, as soon as we get back. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave, left out of the audio bites. I'm trying to bring everybody back into the studio here. And, I have some names and some things regarding the project jotted down. I don't think Sophia has right here. So Susan and Travis, now for the announcement. Tell us what you can regarding the upcoming SWB Media feature film, Black Caesar Pirate King.
Yeah, we're so excited about this film. I actually researched for 2 years about black pirates that were around in the 17th and 18th century, I think. And I came up with an incredible black pirate, and he was actually named, he was a chieftain in Africa, in an African village. And he actually was given the name of Black Caesar because of his powerful build and his power. So I researched everything I could find because I thought this story needs to be told. And if you remember, you know, I've always been told how superstitious, how much they believed in ghosts and different things as pirates. So I came across some incredible things, you know, about actually sort of the paranormal type thing and the superstitions of that. So I took this story and I wrote a script. It's called Black Caesar Pirate King. It's also trademark pending, by the way. I wrote the script. I actually have basically 3/4 of it funded. I'm just waiting on the rest. And there's been authors that have actually written about this. And one author recently in Florida wrote, in fact, Travis and I just found this, that this story could make a blockbuster movie. And I think that's what we have. And one of the things I would really like to do is I have found that there are at least 3 authentic pirate ships that are still around. And one guy owns those 3. So I would like to do some outtakes from the film, have professional mediums, psychic mediums, come on board and see who might appear to us. And that would go, it wouldn't be actually a part of the film, but if you know when you go a lot of times to the theater, there's outtakes at the end. I would add that at the end so we could see some of that. So this is, I can tell you that researching all of this and the atrocities that happened during that time, I literally cried while writing. And particularly at the end, this is basically, I set everything up to be a 3 movie, to be a sequel and a sequel. So it's so dear to my heart. I love all these characters. It's really strange. Even now, when I go back and I read the script, at the end I cry. And I wrote everything. So if that tells you anything, I believe it's a very powerful. Travis has been with me since 2012. God bless him, because he's just been the most amazing friend, supporter, helping me. If I say, hey, I want to do a podcast, Travis is there. Okay, we'll do a podcast. Anything I say. So he and I are working. We're trying to get this last percentage of money that I need for the film. We're actually going to try out NFTs. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but look for it, because if any of your listeners actually are working with NFTs, Black Caesar Pirate King will be going up for sale very soon. Not for sale. It's kind of complicated, but if you know about NFTs, you'll know what I'm talking about. So, Travis, you can jump in. Oh, and I wrote a particular part for an individual. When I was writing the script, I had certain people in mind that, and I wrote about that. So this one, I learned about the superstitions and everything of the pirates. And one of the things they thought was a good look charm was a man of small stature. So I wrote a very comical person, a character called Fargus. And I even did little jingles. I wrote little jingles because Fargus is the cook who can't cook. And he's the comic relief in the whole thing
because right.
it's a very dramatic film. So yeah, it's going to be something special. Travis, jump in.
Oh, I see, this is why I enjoy letting you talk about this project, because you are passionate about Black Caesar Pirate King. She is. The minute that Susan approached me with this particular concept, and she and I have worked on various events and projects, me from a publicity and a promotion standpoint. We're also in the process of putting together a reality TV show that we'll be shooting in Las Vegas. But this is... I've worked on several documentary films. This will be the first time actually being involved in a feature film production, so I'm excited about that. We're hoping a good friend of mine who does publicity as well, Cyrus Webb out of Mississippi, hoping that he's going to join us and work with us on promoting this particular film and what we're trying to do with this story. And Susan's right, there's so many interesting historical aspects to this character. And tracking down truth versus legend versus folklore and all of that has been really fun. And I will say this, as Susan mentioned, she has written the script, and it's by far one of the best historical action films that is trying its best
right.
to not only present, good swashbuckling Pirates of the Caribbean type action, but is trying to stay extremely faithful to the actual subject matter and the original source material. So she's done an amazing job of walking that fine line of fictionalizing a very robust, very, very polarizing, again, historical figure.
Again, some of the names here that, Sophia might not have as I was doing research and everything, you being a publicist, and so, Travis, for you, during the casting process, what criteria set talent Akeem Mayer, aside from other individuals auditioning and ultimately leading to his role in the film?
Well, and casting is entirely Susan. My job is just to promote it once she does that. And she has her list of the people that she is wanting to attract to this. Most of the names we really can't say because they're not under contract yet, but she knows what she's looking for. So I'm going to let her address that. And then my job, like I said, once somebody's cast, my job is to put together the press junket, get them interviews in front of the TV on shows like this, panel discussions, all of that, screenings, taking care of all of the behind the scenes type stuff, the logistics.
Yeah. So what are you looking for, particularly, Susan?
This is actually going to be, it's actually budgeted to be a major motion film. We have a budget of about $40 million. The lead actor, I wrote it specifically for one guy. Now, whether or not I get him, he's a very big British guy, an A-lister. And he, there again, I really, it's a wish list. So if we put it as a wish list instead of I have not contacted him or his agent, nothing. But the wish list for Black Caesar would be Idris Elba. That's my number one choice. Whether or not I get him, I don't know. And I have a wish list for the character Fargus, and I actually got involved. I saw him on Instagram, and he was just amazing, and he's very comical. And there again, I have not made an offer. This is only a wish list, and that is Leslie Jordan for Fargus. I actually wrote the character in with him in mind. There's also a female star, and she is an actual, most of the characters, the lead characters are all in history. They're all in legendary. There was a famous female pirate. She was French. Her name was Jacquette. Mm-hmm. And she got the name Back from the Dead Red. You can Google these things if you like. Back from the Dead Red. And she was given that name because she actually went off the grid because she was wanted for murder. She's an amazing character. Right. Her mother was Haitian. Her father was French. Her mother died in childbirth. And guys, you guys have to love this, I hope. Her mother gave birth to a special needs or a mental disability child. I have addressed that child as Down syndrome, and we will have an actual, I've already contacted a talent agency and a particular agent that handles Down syndrome actors. So we will have an actual Down syndrome actor in the cast. And I'm being as true to it as I possibly can, because you guys know how I feel about Down syndrome, and that's what Beyond Expo was all about. So,
well, I know the Bob and Deanne Bell Foundation, certainly.
Yeah, so I'm actually trying to be all-inclusive in this film. And it, you know, it's just, I'm so passionate about it, and I love these characters. I absolutely love them. They really mean something to me. They're like my children. So it will, the main characters will be A-listers. Let's put it that way.
Right. Also, I have a note here. How has producer Noel Vega become involved with the work?
Noel Vega is really, has been a friend for a long time, and he's one of the best line producers in the business. So he has worked with me from the beginning with a lot of things. He actually critiqued my script, which was great. He's just a fabulous guy, and he's very, very well liked in Hollywood, and he's close friends.
Right. And Travis, you know, debuting March 15th on HBO Max, what was your role in the compelling documentary Phoenix Rising?
No, actually, Phoenix Rising is the hashtag that I use for the publicity firm that I specialize in helping rebrand individuals that might have actually had some problems their image in the past. So the concept behind Phoenix Publicity was that we take individuals and we help them rise from problems and ashes.
Right, right. Yeah, I know that was certainly a compelling. Sophia knew the whole case and everything too. Oh, Sophia, I got Sophia back in too as well. But yeah, those were the key names. I didn't know that this was like that. But, yeah, fantastic project you guys are both involved with.
Yeah,
oh,
amazing
you.
Project. It sounds like, you know, such a great film. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, the scope you guys do with, you know, the films and the paranormal and everything. What is, you know, something I know you've done The Mothman, Travis, and Susan, I know you work heavily with film too. What is, you know, some paranormal-wise that you would love to delve deeper in and do a documentary or a film about?
I would love to do a documentary. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is I have connections with someone in Ghana. I would love to do a documentary there and have psychic mediums with me, and we explore. In Ghana, they actually have they still have the buildings that the slaves were stored, for lack of a better word, stored in, awaiting to be to be shipped out into slavery. And a lot of them, I think, committed suicide, did certain things. So I would love to do a documentary where we go into that area, Sierra Leone and Ghana, and actually see what we can pick up with psychic mediums, how we can mm-hmm. see that play out, and if we can learn anything from them, from the spirits that are still, there.
Definitely. And how about you, Travis?
One of the things that I had, like I mentioned, kind of a continuation of the Mothman was following up, looking at some of the current sightings in Chicago, some other locations. When we were doing the documentary film at that time, there was a kind of a hot spot of Mothman activity was in Texas, near Aurora, Texas, which is actually the site of supposedly the first UFO crash on U.S. soil in 1897, about 50 years before Roswell. So kind of tying that in. Anything extraterrestrial UFO-wise, I still have a keen interest in the Bermuda Triangle, even though most people don't talk about it anymore. I still have a very keen interest in that. Would love to go back and delve into some of those areas a little bit and kind of look at them with fresh eyes.
Yeah, really interesting. I didn't even know there had been a UFO sighting that early. So, that's really mm-hmm. fascinating that happened. I can't wait to tell my cousins who just moved to Texas, but she was kind of freaking out that apparently they have a ton of ghost towns there. So I would just love to let her know about that, too.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Oh, I definitely will. I talk to her like every week. I can't wait to tell her. I love her. She's not scared of the paranormal, but I do think it's funny. She's never really had an involvement. So I just think it's great. So, I would love to see you do a documentary in Texas on, that and the Mothman sightings and the UFOs. I think that's really interesting. There's also so many places that, to investigate or, host events at. Where is one place for each of you that you would love to investigate the most at or, hold an event, Susan?
I think I would really love to do some things, like I said, in Africa. But there's another place that I would like to, and that's the Bahamas. And one of the reasons, particularly New Providence Island, and New Providence Island for 10 years was actually governed and ruled by pirates. A lot of times they were, there's all sorts of things and deaths that occurred there. I think that would be, I know that Blackbeard, Sam Bellamy, all of those guys were there. These are all famous pirates. So I'm kind mm-hmm. of obsessed at the moment with pirates. So I would love to go into the Caribbean and those areas and do some research.
I think a lot of people would love to go to the Caribbean and do research, too. So not a bad spot to investigate.
Absolutely.
How about you, Travis?
As for me, Kev Baker, with whom I was very dear friends, the Kev Baker Show, Truth Frequency Radio, he was in Scotland. He passed away in December from complications of COVID, but he had investigated mm-hmm. Beluskin House there in Scotland, which is where Aleister Crowley had lived, who was one of the most adept occultists of the 20th century. And a lot of unusual activity there in the house. And even though I know Kev went there and he feels like he had something very, very negative attach itself to him, a few years ago, ever since he and I have talked about it, I've always wanted to go there and actually investigate it further. I'm fascinated by Crowley, always have been. He's just a fascinating individual when you really look at the way he came into this world, his life, the life that he lived, the occult art that he practiced, and how he impacted and influenced so many other occultists mm-hmm. of the 20th century and into the 21st century.
Definitely. I mean, that's Scotland's also an amazing location. Very different from the Caribbean, but it depends, you know, dream location for some people too. I personally
exactly.
love the rain, so that's a win for me. But also, you know, speaking of locations, I know that, you know, there was some relocation to Vegas recently. Can you tell the audience what the significance is of that? And I believe you're also working on your reality show over there, too.
Yeah, we are. It was funny. My daughter, Jody, Travis, and I were brainstorming one night. Jody and I at home and Travis on the phone, we were brainstorming. So we all came up with this idea of doing a reality show that actually is based on your zodiac sign
mm-hmm.
and the compatibility of the stars and all of these things. So my thought was to actually do contestants will not know whose sign is what. And then I actually talked to Becky Ratliff and Serenity Moore, and I've been playing phone tag, but I talked to both of them about when we do the reality show that they will use their special abilities to kind of see who is going to match up with whom. And that
mm-hmm.
way we'll have some drama going on and see how accurate they are and how the changes come. And I think a lot of people in the industry that I've talked to, other producers and everything, they're like, oh, wow. This is super. I love this. This is a great idea. So I think it would go over really well and, bring the paranormal into it as well. And also probably, people, astrologists and this kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it sounds like a really interesting show. I mean, you know, it's weird how accurate astrology can be sometimes, and just to see how compatibility works with it and, you know, how accurate that is as well, I think would be a really interesting concept.
Yeah, we're working on that. That's, that's in the process. I've already talked
mm-hmm.
to a casting director in Vegas, and so we're gonna push on that, and we're working on Black Caesar Pirate King. So we if anybody has some great ideas of a name for our reality show, send us our email address for the variety show. I mean, for the reality show. Is virgo912.tv@gmail.com.
Well, I can't wait to see everything you all have made when it's all out. But I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. It's been great talking to you as always. And it's surprising how fast the hour's gone by.
I know, right?
It's always a pleasure to be on with you guys. Susan and I talk like this all the time. We're on the phone at least 3 times a week. But it's great to be back on with you, Sophia, and your program and everything. So thank you guys so much for the opportunity to come back on.
Yeah.
Well,
congratulations and thanks.
Yeah, I loved you guys. Dion, you are a special man. Shirley, Sophia, so great. We've got to keep in touch now. We're in L.A.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And I would love to have you both back on the show in the future. And, yeah, I want to thank you just for coming on, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Wow. Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Susan and Travis were such great guests. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, the Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. To remind everybody, for both Susan and Travis, TravisShort.com. That's with two T's. So TravisShort.com, Twitter at Travis Short, at Darkwings Mossman on Twitter. Also Facebook, Beyond Expo. Also hashtag Phoenix Rising, hashtag Black Caesar Pirate King. Upcoming, we have Horsefly Chronicles radio host, paranormal investigators Phil and Julia Saracusa. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have other people booking as we speak. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page just to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.